It's time to talk to the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. You can follow him on Twitter, @gadgetdetective. How the devil are you, Fevzi?
Very well, thank you. Missed
Great.
You.
Thank you. Yes, it's very nice to be back today, I have to say. Of course, we've just had, well, as far as I'm concerned, that hideous American import, Black Friday. I don't know why we have to slavishly follow, but there we are. Yes. What does this mean for tech gifts for Christmas, do you think?
Well, and don't forget Cyber Monday.
Oh, crikey.
Except Black Friday is pretty well... It's just smudged over the whole of November. And
it really has, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know if you saw, there were strikes at Amazon and protests outside by environmental groups. Yeah, it actually affected their business. They managed to, you know, it was a complaint about consumerism. Obviously, not just Amazon, but they have a point, and Amazon probably sells a good share of that stuff, you know. Most of the boxes flying around seem to be theirs.
Well, yes, and those boxes are very often huge with a tiny little product inside, aren't they? Which,
they go from one extreme to another. What irritates me is when I buy something, you know, let's say electronic, where the box is kind of important, because when you come to resell it, if you do, you want the box in good condition. And often they don't put it in an outer box. And either it gets damaged, or at the very least, their labels don't come off again, and you destroy the cosmetics of the box, which is, you know, for me, annoying. But on the other extreme, I've had teeny tiny little objects in massive grey boxes. Yes. I once had some kitchen rolls delivered, and there was more paper in the packaging than in the kitchen rolls.
They've got to get it sorted out, haven't they? Especially as we are now finally realising that we must stop doing this sort of stuff. I bet they're working on it to make that more streamlined, aren't they? And other companies like them, don't you think? Surely.
Yeah, but it's... You know, look, I'll make a general point, which you may not expect me to make, given what I do and talking about gadgets and so forth. Mm. But we buy too much stuff. And I'm talking about electronic consumer items in particular. Mm. And it's not just, you know, my eco-credentials sort of virtue signaling to the fore. It is this. To get the best out of our technology does not mean that we need to have the latest technology. Occasionally we have to update it, you know, maybe every few years, but not every year or every 2 years. The best way to get the best out of your technology is to understand it, to know it, to have experience of using it. A good example of that is a camera, or indeed it can be a camera phone. So, you know, there are improvements coming. There will be big improvements in the future with this thing called computational photography, where the processors, you know, alter the images. But for the moment, if you've got a decent camera or a decent camera phone, just learn to use it properly. You get much better pictures out of it just by understanding maybe how to take it off auto mode and, you know, experiment with it. But whatever it is, you can get the best out of it in that way, so you will have the best experience. And every time we buy something, it's expensive. It's not just the cost of buying it, it's the cost of researching it, finding it, and good luck if that's a PlayStation 5 or a Nintendo Switch. And then storing it, maintaining it, cleaning it, learning to use it, and eventually dumping it. And all the space it takes up in your house, if God forbid you don't end up using it. It's actually, buying something is very expensive in ways that, you know, what they call total cost of ownership.
But very, very tempting also. There's the magpie in all of us. I mean, the same is true of clothes. Now, how many times do you buy an item of clothing? Even as you buy it, you know you're never going to get much wear out of it. But it's lovely. You know, you want it. This is the problem.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm, you know, I say this to you, but don't do as I do as I say, right? I'm a pretty bad offender myself, you know. And it doesn't help that they send me a load of stuff as well, because, you know,
of course,
it just clogs up the space. But anyway, look, the point is, people had trouble finding, in some cases, what they wanted on Black Friday. I mentioned the PlayStation 5. I think the Nintendo Switch is probably the most sought-after gadget at the moment, closely followed by the PS5. And I know PlayStation 5 selling for 50% over their new price by people who bought them, and either selling them unopened or just unboxed, but put back in the box. There's a lot of money. It's a bit like it was with webcams about a year ago, where you couldn't get a webcam for love nor money. The underlying problem of this is a sort of perfect storm of several factors. First of all, demand was increasing. Secondly, manufacturers thought that demand would reduce as a result of COVID. And there's a chip shortage as well. So these things together mean that we're probably going to have shortages for at least another year before things get better. I think Apple made about 10% fewer iPhones this year than they'd intended to make, which
interesting.
Is selling,
that's
selling
significant,
fewer.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Even Apple. I mean, you can't get the chips for them. They're just not available. And you've even had the case of manufacturers swapping the high performance chips for cheaper chips, and not telling people.
Why would they think we would want less tech when we're all stuck indoors with nothing to do? Surely we'd want more tech.
I think there's a number of things. I mean, you're right in hindsight, certainly at least. I think, obviously it was correctly thought that, COVID would have a devastating effect on the economy and on people's income. People would lose their jobs. And that did happen. People lost their jobs. People were furloughed. People lost income. A lot of that pain is down the line, by the way, when the government taxes us to the hilt to try and fill the hole in the economy. Because at the moment, we're working on borrowed money. So that effect maybe has been diluted over time. We haven't perhaps seen the full effect of that. But I think what they didn't predict is that because people were not able to go out, to restaurants or holidays or, entertainment things that we do outdoors, that we turned our homes into home 2.0, where we upgraded, or a lot of us did upgraded, our home entertainment systems, be it gaming or TVs or tablets or what have you. So, they kind of got it wrong. But also, this was a trend that was underway anyway, that the demand was increasing. Also, things are changing. So Apple launched its own processor range in its Mac computers, called M1 chips, Apple Silicon chips. So they dumped a lot of Intel stuff. So there's more of a shift towards the low energy stuff for portable devices and devices. Yeah. And the likes of Intel, there's probably not a great shortage of Intel chips at the moment, but the demand for it isn't perhaps as much as it would otherwise have been. So it's also changing the market. It's all these different factors that have come together. But it takes about 3 or 4 years to build a new plant, and several billion dollars, by the way, to manufacture, components. And even Apple, who's got a reputation for buying up the world supply of certain things, hasn't been able to get what it needs. So Apple actually doesn't manufacture, it designs its own chips, but it doesn't manufacture them. It hasn't manufactured for them, So I think another year of this before these things start, these measures start coming online. It's like a big juggernaut. Okay. It takes a long time to, a Leviathan. It takes time to change direction.
Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, is on the line. Wasn't quite sure, actually, whether we had finished our first part of our chat. Have we said all we need to say about getting the tech you want for Christmas? Are we ready to move on to the gadget?
I can give you a couple of, I'll give you a couple of quick tips, very difficult. The problem is a lot of this stuff is out of stock. We can't make more stock, but we can make ourselves a little bit more agile in finding it as it comes back into stock. Now, there's no perfect method for this, but it's a combination of things. Some websites, when something goes out of stock, allows you to put your email address in and have them notify you when it comes back into stock. If you do that and set it up with an alert on your phone, so even though it's an email, it'll pop up as a notification, then you might, within minutes, be able to dive in and get it before anyone else does.
Right.
The other thing is there are price matching tools and price monitoring tools that sometimes trigger when something comes back into stock, because it's deemed to have gone from out of stock to in stock, or it comes back into stock at a different price to what it was when it went out, even a penny. So you can use things like camelcamelcamel.com for Amazon, or you can use websites and apps like Price Spy, P-R-I-C-E Spy, S-P-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, again, set up monitors that tell you when the price changes or drops. And as I say, that's often associated with it, with stock levels. You can just keep a very good look on it. But it's really a matter of trying to get notifications and making sure those notifications are set up so that you will see them. It's no good if it's just an email and you check your email once an hour or twice a day or something, because some of these things literally go within a couple of minutes. Yeah, it's not that there's no stock. They'll come into stock and they'll go straight back.
How much do you want it? How much do you care? How much work are you prepared to put in? So it's kind of fair, really, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who do businesses out of this.
Yeah, good.
They buy and sell.
Right. Gadget of the week.
I didn't see this one coming.
It's a pain reliever for back, shoulders, and muscles. Goodness me.
Yeah, I had cause to use this not long ago because I hurt my back, and I don't like taking more meds than I absolutely need to. When I need to, I will, but if I can avoid it, I do, because I tend to think that it sometimes obscures the symptoms that you need to know about. So. This is from a company called Omron. Omron are probably best known for their blood pressure monitors. If you go into most GP surgeries, almost all the time, the one they use is an Omron. But actually, they do a whole range of healthcare items for professional and also for home use. This is called the Omron E3 Intense. It is a TENS machine. A TENS machine is an electronic pain reliever. They've been around for a while, but they've been honing the technology. TENS is T-E-N-S. It stands for transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, which means two little probes stuck to the skin under a pad, and a signal flows across the skin, and it stimulates the nerve. So it works. Right. It works in three ways, essentially. In all good marketing speak, but actually it does work in three ways. It helps block the pain messages that go from the site of the pain to the brain. Because obviously the brain is where pain is perceived, and if it doesn't receive the signal is garbled, it can cut the pain. It also, the electrical signal can trigger the release of the body's natural endorphins, which are natural painkillers. And finally, because it causes a repeated muscle contraction and relaxation, it can improve the blood circulation, therefore healing to the area. So it's not a panacea for everyone. It doesn't work for everyone, and it doesn't work, in my experience, for every type of injury. It's really a case of, you know, you have to try it out. So if you buy one of these, buy it from somewhere where you can return it if it's no good for you. But for most people, it has, in my experience, it has a beneficial effect. You know, even if it's reducing the pain by, you know, 20-30%, it can be worthwhile because it's drug free. Yeah. And what happens is it's a little unit, looks a little bit like a cell phone, and it's got some long life pads that you stick on your skin, and it gives a small impulse, and it normally ticks away for about 15 minutes. It's portable, so you can use it, you know, in the home or office or during travel, and it's quite unobtrusive once the pads are stuck on. You know, you can be using it, people aren't aware. Has preset programs for your shoulders, back, arms, feet, joints, and it has also massage modes, has three of those massage modes. I like the pads in particular because the pads on these units are often consumable and expensive. These ones are washable and can be reused up to 150 times before you eventually do have to buy one. So I would just say, and I do need to say this, some warnings, right? Before you buy any sort of TENS machine, you should go to the manufacturer's website, in this case, omron-healthcare.co.uk, download the manual and read the safety warning. And it's because of this. If you've got a pacemaker, if you've got an implanted defibrillator or some implanted metallic or electronic device, it's a no-no. You can't use a TENS machine. If you're already using a TENS machine, you can't stick a second one on you. If you are using any sorts of medical electronic devices like artificial heart, lung or respirator, it's a no-no. So you must read. There's a whole bunch of things that it's not, and pregnant women as well.
Okay.
It's not suitable for certain people. So you must read that before ideally before you buy it, and certainly before you use it. And you can download the PDF manuals from, you know, Omron's website, for example, and just read it. It's just a one-page warning, and it's worth reading. It's also not for use on children or infants. So that sort of thing. You have to read it all. But when it works, it's magic, and it's 4 stars out of 5. But just make sure it's suitable for you.
You found it at a largely reduced price as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so this one's got a list price of $74.99 if you go onto Omron's website. They won't thank me for saying this, but if you go to, you know, a well-known large retailer that we talked about earlier.
It reminds us of a river, yes.
Yes, and yeah, tall women and all of that. £48.95. which
fantastic.
I think is a bargain. Yeah. Plus, that particular retailer, and others have similar return policies sometimes, but their returns policy is very good. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, because of Christmas, the return window, which is normally 30 days at that retail, I think is extended, and I think it's extended to the end of January to allow people, because people are giving stuff as gifts. So if you bought it now, there'd scarcely be time. They'd barely have got it in their hands before the 30-day window runs out. So this would be a good time to, you know, if it's stuff you need to try out, particularly if it's going to be a gift, you know, particular retailer. Others will have done similar things, I think, but I just happened to notice that they'd done that today.
Great stuff. Thank you so
much,
as
ever. 4 stars out of 5.
4 stars out of 5, as you said, Fevzy. Thank you. We shall talk in 7 days' time. There he goes, the gadget detective.